All right, Gators Breakdown Plus members, what's up?
We're doing, Dave.
Doing well, doing well. Once again, living up to the moniker. There's never a dull moment in Gator Nation. Man, I mean, here we are mid-February talking about coaching, you know, staff changes here. But yeah, just man, it was Billy Napier talking last week during National Signing Day and talking about extending coaches, and Darnell Stapleton was, you know, one of those coaches on that list, and here we are, what, just over a week later, and him, Darnell Stapleton, going to the Washington Commanders.
Did we expect this to happen, Dave?
No, I don't. Not this one. I'll get into it a bit too. I think if one offensive line coach, Rob Sale, I think was, we've had that discussion kind of what preseason going into 2023, maybe even during the season, that maybe at some point he was likely to go to the NFL, but not Stapleton. So but that will certainly be part of the conversation we get into here with you guys. Definitely not expected, though, from what I can gather, at least on my end as well. But, yeah, we got a little bit to get into. We'll get into that one. And then, of course, the popular topic dating back to, was it early this week? Late last week, early this week, of the 5.5 win total there for Florida, matching last year's preseason expectation for Florida. Tougher schedule this year and still sitting at 5.5. There for Florida, so we'll get into that too. Your thoughts on that, guys, and maybe a little bit of recruiting talk as well. But I think there's some good discussion to be had right here. We'll put the Darnell Stapleton part of this out for everybody. I won't do a sole episode on that, but the rest of the conversation will be just Gators Breakdown Plus members. So we will have plenty to discuss. If you want the full episode, just make sure you're a Gators Breakdown Plus member. So, let's get into it. Let's get into the news. I'll kind of go through the history with Darnell Stapleton, my thoughts on it, then you guys can chime in, see if you agree, disagree, your thoughts on it just in general. But, of course, Darnell Stapleton, Gators assistant offensive line coach here, you know, two offensive line coaches here for Billy Napier and the Gators. That's the way he decided to build his staff early on. Well, he's leaving the Gators for a job with the NFL Washington Commanders after spending 2 years at Florida. He was part of Billy Napier's initial staff. Stapleton first joined Napier, remember guys, in 2021 as an off-field assistant during Napier's final season at Louisiana. He's now been hired as the Commanders' assistant offensive line coach. So Stapleton was part of this two-coach offensive line system that Napier implemented, which had, of course, mixed results. I think we go to Napier's first year in 2022. With an offensive line led by Osiris Torrence, Florida led the SEC in yards per carry, 5.84. The team averaged 213.7 rushing yards per game in 2022, ranking 16th in the FBS and 3rd in the SEC. Of course, guys, we know it wasn't maintained in 2023. Florida had difficulty consistently opening holes, moving the opposing defensive line, protecting the quarterback. There was a fall off from 2022 to 2023. So, of course, this creates an opening for an on-field role within the staff. And, guys, I think you probably agree. The biggest question now, what happens? How does Billy Napier fill this spot out? The question remains whether Napier will maintain the practice of having two offensive line coaches or use this as an opportunity to restructure the offensive staff. If an offensive coach were, you know, to depart for the NFL, kind of going to what we were talking about earlier, I think a lot of us presumed it was going to be offensive line coach Rob Sale. And I think now you have to ask yourself, is that still a possibility? Is that still on the table? And if so, will it affect Napier's strategy of how he feels Darnell Stapleton leaving? Is this just something where he has to wait and see? Is there talks behind the scenes of Rob Sale still entertaining offers or still entertaining his interest in the NFL maybe? You know, if this situation arises, will Napier be compelled to fill the role with one offensive line coach or two offensive line coaches if he decides to go that route again? we got to figure all this out with just spring practice a month away. So right now it's just Stapleton, but I do think, you know, with the talk that we heard going into the 2023 season and Rob Sale's name in the NFL, still in the back of my mind, probably keep that out there as well. So, and I think to continue this going, you know, Florida now, this is another staff change since the end of last season. Most of the previous changes were on the defensive side with the addition of Will Harris, Gerald Chapman, Ron Roberts, and, you know, special teams analyst Joe Houston also on the staff. But Stapleton's exit comes just days after Craig Fitzgerald and the director of strength and conditioning leaves for Boston College. So I think you got to look at it, you know, why are coaches leaving? Some people might interpret these departures as coaching seeking better opportunities. That's certainly some of the case here. This could be due to location and working with a friend, like in Fitzgerald's case, or moving to the NFL like Stapleton, which is currently seen as a, you know, a more appealing move, guys. We know the NFL is kind of looking better for these coaches with all the non-college football responsibilities, or the non-football responsibilities that college football coaches have. You get to just go coach football now. And think about this, guys. Napier's initial staff, his own field staff hires, Patrick Toney, William Pigler, Kerry Colbert, Corey Raymond, Sean Spencer, Jay Bateman, now Darnell Stapleton, are all gone after two seasons. That's a lot of moves. Corey Raymond, Sean Spencer, look, you know, got the fired label put on them. All the other ones have been those guys moving on their own terms. So others might view these moves as a way to secure a better future, considering the significant pressure that's on Billy Napier in year three. It might be a little more stability that's out there. I think we all know it's unlikely that these changes are due to one single reason, but a combination of all these factors. So the key question here is, how does this impact Florida? It's clear recruiting is crucial in college football. We all know that. That's half the battle. And this offensive line hasn't been up to the mark since Stapleton came in with Billy Napier. And he's a good coach, as evidenced by the NFL interest. But it's important to note that he was hired as an assistant offensive line coach for Washington and not the lead coach. As such, of course, Florida's next step should be to find a better recruiter. I'll go there first. While there's been some notable recruits, there needs to be more. Therefore, from a recruiting perspective, this departure, you know, is it a significant setback for Florida? We'll delve into that coming up soon, but it's plausible that Napier could find a coach comparable as far as coaching goes, but need to upgrade the recruiting part of this. So not a major loss, but the replacement must be an improvement. While this is an unusual time to be looking for a hire. So I think I'll throw all that at you guys, but there's a lot of angles to look at this one from, but I don't think it's a huge loss, but I think we know what the replacement must bring.
The replacement doesn't need to be another offensive line coach, in my opinion. We need to scrap that two coach system.
I think that's part of the question. That's probably the biggest part of the question. What's Napier going to do? You know, just besides a replacement, is it just going with one offensive line? I think he's going to stick. I think he wants to stick with the two offensive line coach formula. I think if Billy Napier had his choice, that's what would happen. Now, can his choice be limited by the timing of all this? Like I said, we're in mid-February. We're a month away from spring practice. The NFL calendar is messing all this up, but just a bit for college football coaches right now. So are there other factors outside of what Billy Napier wants that could just limit it to one offensive line coach? Will he have trouble finding a replacement there for Stapleton? Is it somebody as elevated within the staff just to have the second full-time offensive line coach? I don't think that would be the case. I'd be kind of disappointed if it was an elevation just to keep that two offensive line coach system. All in all, yeah, I mean, I agree. Billy Napier sees a whole lot of value in it, but I'm not so sure we have seen the value pay off, whether it be on the recruiting trail, whether it be in development so far. As we mentioned, you had one good season, one subpar season. I wasn't so against the two offensive line coaches, Rob Sale and Darnell Stapleton. There was one good year, one bad year. Had Osiris Torrance, of course, he was anchoring that first year. I think a lot of people do gloss over that first year and only remember year two. But look, credit to some people, they were against the whole two-line coach system to begin with. I don't think there's been enough either way to say right or wrong. But at this moment, for me, outside looking in, I do think Billy Napier would probably prefer the two offensive line coach system, but I don't. His hands may be tied here just because of all the timing of all this.
Well, he's got to hire somebody. You can't just not hire an offensive coach. He's got to make a term at some position. And I'm pretty sure he's not going to do all the offensive coordinator. I mean, especially this way, he pretty much said that. Bring one in a month before spring practice. But you can't go without hiring an on-field coach.
Oh yeah, he'll hire an on-field coach for sure. I'm not. You did bring up a good point with MJ Skywalker. Can you mute your mic or whatever? I'm getting a bunch of feedback or something there. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a OC hire. I really don't. That would have already been made. I think. I don't think this forces that issue. I think that's another way of looking at it. This doesn't change it. I don't think Billy Napier says, all of a sudden now I'll go hire an offensive coordinator. And no, I don't think this is how this is going to work at all. That's why another reason I look for it just to be a second offensive line coach. I think those two things combined, what we just discussed, is why it would be another offensive line coach.
Yeah, it just feels like that both those offensive line coaches, and I'm not behind the scenes, but they just don't seem to make a whole lot of effort in the recruiting game. It's like we hired Gerald Chapman. It's like, he just started making dividends, right away. It's like if Sale leaves, like maybe we need to hire another young guy to pair with, with getting Chapman. Maybe we should get a young guy like that. I'd love to see Phil Trautwein come here, but I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, especially the timing right now, and maybe we could be completely surprised on that. Like I said, I do think timing plays a lot into this and makes it kind of weird. But yeah, let's just go through it. We'll go through 24/7 Sports, and while we're talking about recruiting right now, Jordan Herman from Community College and Billy Napier's 2022 initial recruiting class, Livingston, who's now more tight end there, but he was labeled as an offensive tackle. But Jalen Farmer, Christian Williams, David Connor, that's your offensive line from the initial 2022 recruiting class. There's nothing there. And we go to 2023. Let's go to offensive line. And then you had Roderick Kearney, who was 147 overall. Caden Jones, a four-star. Najee Harris, who I think will be getting a whole lot of many snaps coming up this year. Bryce Lovett there, but nothing there yet. Those guys were freshmen last year. Najee Harris seems to be the furthest along. I think we all expect something big from Roderick Kearney maybe this year to start seeing. He's the highest rated recruit on the offensive line for Billy Napier in that 2023 cycle. And then we go to 2024, the cycle that just happened. And that was, of course, led by Fletcher Westfall. He was 128 overall, a four-star. You got Mike Williams and Noel Poort-Jagan there from Germany, of course. So not a lot that stands out. Westfall and Kearney being the two top offensive linemen they've brought in so far. But, yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a can't-miss guy. There hasn't been the linchpin. There hasn't been what you would look at and say, wow, blow you away along the offensive line. I know that's been quite a while for Florida, but yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot to jump up and down about. And looking, I said coming into this 2024 season, if you really believed in this two offensive line coach approach and recruiting hasn't been outstanding, well, that means the development better be there. And now with this move, does that hamper a bit, and what happens leading up to spring practice, in spring practice with a new face in there? If it's going to be, a two offensive line coach system, you still got to have a new face in there. And I'll bring up the whole Rob Sale situation again, too. Hopefully he sticks around. So there is a familiar face there. But if for whatever reason he decides to leave, too, then this development that I was banking on for the 2025 season. That, I mean, I think that's what we had to bank on. There hasn't been a huge talent infusion along the offensive line. This two offensive line coach system was going to have to pay off in development. Well, that's going to take a step back.
Well, see, my thing, David, is I don't understand why we have to have two offensive line coaches. No one else in America does this. And
go ahead, finish your thought, and I'll look up the quote from Billy Napier.
And another thing is, with a shrink program, are we going to promote within, or are we going to go try to hire someone?
I think promote from within. That's where I think. That's where it's at right now. In the interim, maybe Billy Napier takes his time with this a little bit. In the end, I think it probably ends up inside, but that is me guessing. That is no inside info or anything like that. That's just me guessing.
I mean, I do like that.
Go ahead, guys.
No, I was just gonna say that I did like the promotion from within with Callie James. Like, I think he's a rising star. Like, I think that I like that they made him like assistant D line coach. And I'd rather them just like try to groom, you know, David Doker to back up, you know, Billy Gonzalez, because you know he's gonna retire soon. I'd rather them do that than get another, you know, O line coach. I'd rather, you know, start grooming him. He's probably a better recruiter than Billy Gonzalez is right now.
I wish I'd have saved it, but it was the question I asked Billy Napier at his initial press conference of how he was going to fill out his staff. And I can't find the exact quote, but I mean, he told us right away.
Didn't you use the secondary as an example?
Yes. Yeah. That's why I was trying to find the actual quote. But
you got two coaches for the secondary. Yep. So why not?
You got coaches.
Line. That was his reason.
Yep. You got coaches for cornerbacks and you got coaches for safeties. So he used that as an equation for offensive line as well. One coach to coach your center and your guards, and the other one to coach your tackles. And that was the way he explained it. He equated it to a secondary having two different coaches as well. So, but that's not always the case either. You know, we've seen it. There is a secondary coach that handles corners and safeties. And there's, of course, one offensive line coach as well. And look, there's a ton of assistant coaches and analysts, and that may be broken up that way too, from inside guys to outside guys. But for on field, two offensive line coach, you know, it is pretty rare out there.
We also only have one DB coach now.
Yeah, I know Armstrong. Armstrong did help out there for the safeties a bit last year.
Yeah. But to me, thus far, the safety the two defensive back coaches and the two offensive line coaches, to me, has not paid off yet.
No, it hasn't. Like I said, this year was going to have to. I mean, it was. This is what I didn't know if it was going to pay off or not. But what I'm saying, the way to sell it or the way to say it was worth it is the development for this 2024 season. We were going to have to see it pay off. Let's see. I thought I almost found that quote, but oh well. We got it there.
Lot of turnover for a coach, and you know, after two seasons going into year three, I mean, it's just really, really a strange situation. And I know NIL and you know all that is a major factor, but it just kind of got to wonder: there's something behind the scenes at Florida that this keeps happening? Like the future's just bleak. I can't tell. It seems awfully weird that all this keeps happening. I mean, the coaching turnover especially is just a lot.
Well, Dave, I about this time last year I went on the chat And, you know, maybe I might have sounded a little negative about it, but I did mention something about coaches leaving like they were leaving, you know, and it's not so much that coaches leave a place, join a place. That's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about when it concerns us. It doesn't look like that the coaches are all in for Florida. Is what I, you know, I'm thinking along the lines of, do we have any former Gators that are assistant coaches or something? Are any of them interested or something? Because we need buy-in right now is what it looks like. And I think these guys are just like mercenaries right now. You know, this kind of just, well, get on, get off kind of deal. I mean, they're not, you know, it doesn't seem like the seriousness level is there anymore for us, for Florida, you know. You know, you look around the conference, I mean, you got to look at everywhere, but just around the conference, most of the best teams don't have a whole lot of turnover at the coaching, not a whole lot. I mean, every team has some, but not a whole lot. Continuity is key, man.
Yeah, on that note, I think you have to look, you know, Kentucky's went through offensive line carousel the last few years. Missouri just lost their defensive staff or defensive coordinator, at least to LSU. LSU's had a bunch of turnover, and they are winning despite it. But they've had a ton of turnover the last couple of years since Brian Kelly's took over. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said. I think we're in a weird time right now when there is a success and there's the state of college football and the NFL comes chirping. I don't blame a lot of these coaches for making that jump. There's a lot to do in college football right now, especially, you know, we used to, you know, kind of just joke, it's more than just recruiting in football now. I mean, it's recruiting high school players, it's recruiting your own players, it's dealing with your personalities, and it's now, and then the football part of it comes.
You know, I agree.
NFL, it's football first, so.
Well, I'm agreeing with you, Dave, but it kind of helps to have a Heisman Trophy winner on your team, too, so just saying, you know.
Well, what was really odd to me is I know Bill O'Brien and Fitzgerald are really good friends, but him only being at Florida for 5 weeks and then taking off, I mean, I could have understood if it was, you know, a situation to where he was at Florida for a year and then said, hey, you know, I'm considering taking the Boston College job or whatever, you know, strength and conditioning job. Just 5 weeks, though, that's still a little bit alarming to me.
It does sting, and you know, Will and I talked about it the other night. It was a unique situation. I mean, it stinks for Florida. Like, it took that exact situation. Like, if it had been like, if he was coaching in New York or Boston, that happens, that move happens. But anywhere else in the country, I'm not sure it happens. If Bill O'Brien is coaching if he's coaching in the West Coast, if he's coaching in, you know, Texas or Oklahoma, a school there, this move probably doesn't even happen, but it took the perfect storm. Now, I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm looking at it from Fitzgerald's side. From the Florida side, it stinks. We heard Treyon Webb on Gators Breakdown, a lot of the strength and conditioning and all the difference that was going on. You know, from the Florida perspective, this sucks. But from the Fitzgerald perspective, if I was him, I can see myself making that same move.
Right.
We can continue on this conversation, guys, but the way I want to continue it on, and what I don't see a lot of people bring it up, and one of my first thoughts, and this was, we got a big-time offensive line target making his commitment on Sunday, and that's Peyton Joseph, and he stressed how much of a relationship that he has with Stapleton and Rob Sell. As far as I can gather right now, I don't think this move hurts the chances of getting him, but that's another reason I brought up Rob Sell earlier and the NFL interest. Like, he needs to stay on staff. I think right now, as we sit here when you're listening to this, if you're not listening to it live, we're recording on a late Thursday night, or not late Thursday night, but 7:30 Thursday evening. Peyton Joseph commits on Sunday. Right now, my pick would be Florida, as long as Rob Sell's still on staff. But I think you got to, even if he commits to Florida on Sunday, we gotta watch what Rob Stell does. And I'm not trying to hint at Rob Stell doing anything, but I'm just going back to the interest that we heard. College football is weird right now. We've seen all the moves on Florida staff recently. I'm not shutting the door on Rob Stell not being a part of this staff. So right now, he's on staff. I think Peyton Joseph would commit to Florida on Sunday. But if anything happens between now and then, or even down the road, if Joseph commits to Florida on Sunday, I could see him decommitting, because while people want some of these moves to be made with Stapleton and Sell, it would hurt. There would be an effect for Florida. And we just discussed the recruiting aspect, and this would have been an example of it getting better. Peyton Joseph's one of the top interior offensive linemen in the country, and you're from the state of Georgia, yeah. And you were fighting Georgia. He moved past Georgia, but had a lot of love for Florida State this time a year ago. And right now, Florida seems to be the team to beat as we go into his commitment on Sunday. But that is an angle of this right now, is you're losing a coach before one of your top targets make his decision on Sunday. Gators Breakdown Plus, starting at $3 a month. Link is in the description, and you get access to all these features. You get extra episodes. You get access to the Discord server, where you get to have text chats. Hey, another big bonus, ad-free Gators Breakdown episodes, Q&As, giveaways, custom shout-outs, all that at Gators Breakdown Plus. Link is in the description. Come join us.